They're getting closer. What do we do?
Well, I'm going to have a go at Betway's 4-to-score game for a chance to win 25 grand.
What?
Relax. It's free to play every week. You simply predict the first teams to score in the top four English leagues.
The time has come.
You're right. We'd be howling mad to miss this one.
I could win 25 grand.
For the love of the game, Betway. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
If I can be serious for a minute, without being interrupted.
Excuse me!
What? What?
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
We don't just set the bar.
We are the bar.
Making their way to the ring. Talking about the world of professional wrestling. The team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga. The Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Welcome to the experience that is the High Spot Podcast. You can hear us on Cheap Pops Podcast Network. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin alongside the trendsetter, Brian Berg. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/highspotpodcast, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at High Spot Podcast as well. Visit our website, highspotpodcast.com. Got a great show for you today. We've got Ring of Honor star Shane Taylor as he prepares for Manhattan Mayhem, as well as Brittany Blake took on Tennille Dashwood, a.k.a. Emma, last week at Standalone Wrestling. That was a great show, a great match, so she will be on. And lots to talk about today, trendsetter. How you doing, man?
Doing pretty good, man. Excited to be doing this episode here for the crew. You're right, we have some pretty great guests on lineup here tonight. And hey, guys, while you're listening to us on Cheap Hops Podcast Network, also don't forget, you can also listen to us on B Plus Player and Shining Wizards. Also, you can listen to us on iTunes. Leave a rating, leave a review. It only takes a few seconds, guys. Make sure you also check us out on TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and SoundCloud. And if you've done listening to us, guys, you also have the ability to watch some video. We have a brand new YouTube channel out. Just type in the word High Spot Podcast. Subscribe, follow, leave a comment. Be a part of the crew that way. Our High Spot Podcast channel is up and running. We've got exclusive interviews with such stars as New Impact Tag Team Champs LAX, representing Alberto El Patron, The Savage Sienna, the Bull Club members, the villain Marty Scurll and Adam Hangman Page. You can put an eye out with that thing. Also, with Jay Lethal and Josh Woods. Plus, you can also catch videos from the High Spot Podcast miniseries, which is My Baby Jeff, and I thank you for helping me out with that. The Adventures with the Trendsetter as I journey all over Las Vegas into AVN 2018, and what an experience it was. So, guys, all those episodes and the latest stuff has been posted out there for you. But, Jeff, really excited about our guest tonight. I'm really excited to be talking about Elimination Chamber. We're one pay-per-view away, Jeff, from... Or maybe not one pay-per-view, one event away from WrestleMania. So it's pretty exciting right now.
Yeah, you're right, man. Fastlane is rapidly approaching. And once that happens, we are on the road to New Orleans. Very excited about that, too. But I just want to talk about for 1 second first, give you a little bit of credit, too. You got a couple of little recognitions, too, on one of your interviews you did for Adventures of the Trendsetter. So congrats on that, too. And you're also on BuzzFeed TV. So check out their YouTube channel, too. That was great stuff, man. Really funny stuff. And the Trendsetter is growing up right before my eyes. So congratulations on that, Trendsetter, man.
It only took a matter of time, right? It's about time I stopped sucking on the nipple.
The cream always rises to the top. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
So, Trendsetter, I want to talk to you about Elimination Chamber this past Sunday real quick before we get to Shane Taylor.
Talk away, Jeff.
Just your thoughts. We came about here. First of all, I won, by the way. I won because Matt Hardy beat Bray Wyatt. Yes. So I don't know what I win, but I actually won one of these pay-per-view things. So it was kind of a predictable card. Yeah, I think that the men's elimination chamber was pretty good, pretty decent in some of the spots. But again, Roman Reigns wins out. Braun Strowman beats everybody in the chamber, eliminates everyone, but then succumbs to, of course, the freight train that is Roman Reigns. And now Roman's going to Mania and taking on Brock Lesnar, and lots of Brock Lesnar news. But first, just your thoughts, a little synopsis on the elimination chamber. Trendsetter.
Well, the whole event in total, I think, was successful in terms that it just obviously continued and established storylines. When it came to the main event, which was what we kind of predicted, the men were going to close out the show with the Elimination Chamber match. You're right, kind of predictable. I don't think most people, Jeff, and correct me if you feel differently here, that I don't think a lot of people were upset that Roman won. I think it's the manner in which he did, and that's always the case here. I mean, when you see a guy like Braun Strowman basically eliminate everyone, be dealt with finisher after finisher and kicking out, basically to the point where there's the double power bomb. Everybody was trying to pin him, and he kicked out on two and threw everybody off him, and then it takes two spears to defeat him. That's where I kind of lose it a little bit, where it needed to take something more needed to happen in order for that to occur. So I think that's what's the most upsetting thing. But again, it's what we predicted. You're right. It was a predictable card. We kind of figured out what the women's Elimination Chamber match was going to be. All the other matches, the one up in the air was obviously Bray Wyatt, Matt Hardy. But ultimately, a predictable card. But now it's kind of set. It's going to be Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, like what we predicted when we spoke about this, believe it or not, last year. And it looks like it's going to happen. So pretty exciting, the fact that we're getting closer to WrestleMania. Less than 40 days away now. So, yeah, things are starting to kind of be pieced together, but ultimately still you got to figure out what's going to happen with Braun Strowman. Still some question marks before we go into WrestleMania.
Well, I think the issue, too, has to be with that you knew Roman Reigns was going to win, but just the fact that Braun kind of mowed them down and you were like, okay, they're protecting Braun, but you know that eventually Roman Reigns is going to win this. So I think that's what the issue was, but you can't please everybody again, too. Yeah. So you made Braun come out looking strong. He did succumb to...
Believe me, they never try to please me.
You know, he did succumb to the two spears, like you said, and Roman Reigns is going on to WrestleMania to take on Brock Lesnar. As far as the Asuka Nia Jax match, I think it was entertaining. I think that, of course, Asuka's going to win this. You never know. It could be a triple threat match. And I would, you know, I was going to lean to Asuka challenging Charlotte, but now the more that they're pushing to it, it doesn't seem like Asuka's going to be taking on Charlotte. So it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, how and why they think that the better matchup is Asuka and Alexa Bliss, and who exactly, you know, would Charlotte take on. And, of course, the tag team title match was a yawn because you knew that there was no way that the Bar was going to lose Matt and Bray Wyatt. You know, you said it was a toss-up there on who's going to win there. So, and the women's elimination chamber match, I guess one thing you get out of it is I think Alexa Bliss shined. I think her promo was excellent, and it just shows you why she deserves to be the women's champion, because there's no one like Alexa Bliss right now as far as the ring work, which she showed, and, of course, the promo style. So, all in all, and then, of course, the Ronda Rousey segment, which, you know, you were talking about the promo skills. We were talking about how she would do... you know, there were nerves there, but she was a little choked up as well because this really means a lot to her. So I let her get away with it. I'm not going to, you know, just, you know, bust her chops to begin with because, you know, she's new at this and it's something that, you know, she's not going to get right away. But
it's kind of like you are making excuses for her. The first time we made an excuse for her because it was the Royal Rumble. It was the first time she came out on WWE television, being part of the full roster now, getting overwhelmed with that emotion because it's been a while since she'd been in the UFC ring. It's been a while since she's even been the public guy. So marking out and kind of losing herself in the moment, taking Asuka's moment away from her. So we gave her a pass on that. This one, she had the ability. I'm sure she was kind of told, listen, this is what we're going to do. This is what's going to happen. Of course, you can't predict the unpredictable in terms of the audience crowd reaction to her chanting around Rousey.
But again, in
her
time,
getting emotional.
In time, that'll work itself out. And
again,
but if we're
trying to be fair, first impression, huge boom, obviously, because everybody's talking about it. But again, kind of a fail in terms of you marked out. Okay, second go around now. You have the ability here, her timing in terms of using the mic. And she's not shy using the mic at all. But in terms of, you know, pacing herself with other people around her, not that good. Okay, we move on to Raw. Raw did a better job.
But she saved herself after that opening jitters. I think she was fine afterwards. We tried to interact with Kurt and asked her what was wrong. I think she was fine after that. She took the slap. You could see the emotion.
I could barely hear her when she was saying, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, I'm going to give her an easier pass than that. So a lot of people just looking to me just pile on when it was her first time making her promo. So like you said, she did save herself, though, on Raw.
Yeah, trying to be fair here. I mean, if CM Punk goes out there and fails and gets his ass beat miserably by Mickey Gall, we're not going to call a spade a spade. That's what basically happened.
Yeah, but a promo and actually competing. So if you want to say like when she competes and she falls flat on her face, that'll do. But it was just one promo segment. And
yeah, I can't wait to see the excuse you make after that one.
The world wants to pile on. And look at me. I'm the one who like wants to defend the business. But, I mean, you can't get on her for a shaky start. So all in all, Elimination Chamber was a little bit predictable, but it now leads us one step closer to WrestleMania. So now let's address the giant elephant in the room, which is Brock Lesnar, and what exactly his future holds in WWE. Of course, he did not show up. He was supposed to do face-to-face with Roman Reigns, but he did not show up. A lot of pictures surfaced that he was with Dana White. Of course, that picture Dana White posted. And then Dana White appearing actually on a NASCAR radio on SiriusXM saying that there's a very, very, very good chance that Brock Lesnar appears back with the UFC. Just your thoughts on this whole situation.
I think it's all well placed by Vince McMahon, well placed by the WWE in giving you that illusion. What I really feel, it's an illusion. That picture with Dana White, I'm sure it was perfectly placed and planned, because there's no surprises when it comes to stuff like that, especially when you're building up towards WrestleMania. So in terms of him not being there, I don't know if it was done for the fact that they shunned him out of there or they changed last minutes. I think it was done on purpose for him not to be there. And with the whole situation with the UFC and Brock Lesnar, yeah, I do think there's a possibility. Brock has never closed the door completely, even though he did that one time, said, I'm retired. He'll go where the money is, and if he feels he can still do it. I mean, he's a once-in-a-lifetime type of freak of nature athlete. He can only do it for so long. And so if he still has that drive and determination to want to compete in the UFC and mixed martial arts, why not? Just makes more sense, and also creates the same scenario that we talked about during WrestleMania 31. Is this going to be it for Brock Lesnar? Is he going to leave after this? So it gives you that unpredictability, that feeling of, oh, does Roman really mean what he says about Brock Lesnar? I'm sure he does.
I think a lot of people do.
And is Brock now going to finally drop the title? Because you've built Brock so much and what he did to Goldberg and how he kind of built himself into this undefeatable type of machine again to be conquered by a guy like Roman Reigns. So it's all setting itself up really well. And I think it's perfectly placed. I'm not surprised by any of this right now. And I sometimes chuckle because sometimes you and I will look at it like, oh, look at this sweet, perfectly timed, placed scenarios for this ability that you and I go back and forth. Is this going to be Brock Lesnar's last match for WWE?
It's obvious that what WWE wants to do is they want to really play the part of Roman Reigns as being a guy that's been born in this business, a guy that, has taken his lumps, worked hard to get where he is. And then you get a guy like Brock Lesnar, and then hired mercenary, getting paid about $5 million a year to be in WWE. What do you think is the resentment right now that some fans have against Brock Lesnar? Because if you think about it, if you want to make the comparison, CM Punk left. CM Punk walked out. Whatever he wants to say, and did he get fired? Fine. Eventually, he did get fired. Did Brock Lesnar, to me, has fulfilled his contract. He's exploring his options. So if he decides to go to UFC, he's not leaving them high and dry. He's leaving after Mania. The plan has always been to put the title on Roman Reigns, was to build Brock Lesnar up as much as possible so that Roman Reigns could have his coronation at WrestleMania in New Orleans this year. What right now, for example, is the resentment? Because I'm seeing a lot on social media, and a lot of hosts are saying good riddance, Brock Lesnar. What do you think is the resentment right now towards Brock Lesnar? Because, like I said, CM Punk walked out. Did he get fired? Eventually, right? Brock Lesnar fulfilled his contract. He's pursuing other opportunities. He's leaving on his own terms, not burning bridges. What do you think is the resentment that the fans have towards Brock Lesnar?
Well, when it comes to the resentment that you're talking about, I think when, and this is, use CM Punk as an example. I can use Ronda Rousey, too. When you're defending Ronda, saying that, oh, all the elitists are angry at Ronda Rousey because she's coming in. Does she deserve this opportunity? Does she deserve to be in the ring? She should really start in NXT. She's a star. So is Brock Lesnar. He's a global star. People know who he is outside of WWE. So when it comes to resentment, I guess the purists would say, quote unquote, I'm using quotation marks here, that, yeah, I mean, he should be competing every single night. He should be on the house shows. He should be at every pay-per-view. He should be defending the title. But then you throw the argument that Paul Heyman always throws in there when, you know, we compare Brock Lesnar to a once-in-a-lifetime event. I mean, I think it'd be fair, and if people would disagree with me, hey, let me know. You could compare him to the modern-day Andre the Giant when, you know, you're not going to see him all the time.
Special attraction.
It's limited. It's a special attraction. If you had Christmas, you love Christmas, Jeff. If you had Christmas every day, it would get stale and boring. So those moments when you do get a chance to see a guy like Brock Lesnar, you know, it, you anticipate for the next one, especially for WrestleMania. If WrestleMania was every single year, it'd be boring. There'd be no anticipation and excitement for it. So the resentment comes from the fact that what Roman's point is that he shows up every single day. And, you know, he goes in the house shows and he busts his ass to get in the position where he is right now. No question there. He's a hard worker and, you know, all his peers around him give him nothing but praise on that end. But then you look at a guy like Brock Lesnar, limited dates, works when he wants, doesn't really show that he cares about
it. He paid a whole lot of money.
But when he does show up, he gives you everything he has in that match. So, you know, he does care in a sense. Maybe he cares more about the zeros at the end of his paycheck than he does the actual outcome of it, but he does care because he wouldn't be doing it if he didn't care. So what I find confusing is that, you know, and I was part of this where I hated the part-timers. I was like, how the part-timers come in, it's ruining it, whether it be Rock or whether it be, Goldberg coming in. Oh, they're taking the spotlight away from all the guys that worked so hard for this end of the year, which is why CM Punk kind of left because he was tired of that stuff. But ultimately, I understand the other argument where, you know what, Roman, if you are so good, if you're selling so much merchandise as you claim you are, and John Cena is so good, and, you know, he's coming back and forth from Hollywood, then why aren't you generating the same revenue of selling out as Brock Lesnar shows up every once in a while, and as soon as that happens, that place sells out because you want to see this event happen?
Yeah.
So, you know, I see both sides of it. I see the resentment.
But which one do you lean towards
most? I lean more towards most now the situation where I agree. You know, as much as I love seeing the title defended, now if we go to SmackDown Live, the title's defended every pay-per-view. But there's something special, and it's only a unique person. Not everybody can do it. That a guy like Brock Lesnar can show up every once in a while and defend it, because when you know that title, that universal title, which they're trying so hard to build up, is defended, it's something special to watch.
Agreed. It took me a while to think about that too, but like you said, when the universal champion comes to an event, to an arena, it's something big. Whether he's going to confront Braun Strowman or Roman Reigns, talk about him being open to fighting AJ Styles. How good was that matchup? You talk about how he put Braun Strowman over at SummerSlam, how he had a great match with AJ, and you talk about the lead up here, how he decided to job to Goldberg in 20 seconds or so at Survivor Series to lead into another match at WrestleMania. You're talking about a guy here that does business. Yes, he's a mercenary. He's about the money. He honestly, at the end of the day, he could care less if he signs that autograph, or he could care less if the company makes money, as long as he's making money. But he knows business, right? He's a businessman. So to me, you're going to miss him when he's gone. And I don't want to hear the second day when you're booing Roman Reigns because he was going to do the job to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, right? So on his way out, he was going to do what Vince McMahon says, the timely thing that's right for the business, and drop the belt to Roman Reigns. So listen, I don't want to hear in 2 weeks when the fans are like, oh my God, can we get the title off of Roman Reigns?
Yeah.
Oh, can Seth Rollins be the guy to finally, I'm so sick of Roman Reigns. No, because you had a chance to have the Universal Champion, Brock Lesnar, who is a once-in-a-lifetime athlete, who when he goes to UFC is going to make Dana White a whole lot of money, right? And he's only going to have to maybe fight twice a year, maybe once a year. I don't know what the whole U.S. The drug testing is. I don't know what happens with that. Obviously, Dana White feels that there's a loophole, or it can pass, and Brock can fight again. But
I think if he reinstates to the UFC, if I stand corrected, he's suspended for a year because of the violation. Similar to what happened to John Jones, his license got revoked, and now he's out for a year at the age of 30. So he's going to have to wait a year.
Yeah. Well, he can train in that year and, you know, set up a big fight, and if he signs with the UFC, that's fine. But you're going to miss the man when he's gone, because I believe, too, that the Universal Championship should be something that's defended every night. And I think that WWE dropped the ball because the Intercontinental title, which is there every single night, could have been elevated by not having the Universal Champion there. So I think that's where they fell on too, because yes, the Intercontinental title is more prestigious with The Miz, but then when it's off The Miz, it's not. So there's something wrong there when that happens too. But long story short, that they're going to miss him. You fans, you marks that believe that the business is better without Brock Lesnar, I don't want to see you complain 2 weeks after WrestleMania when we head into Backlash. You're like, oh, Roman Reigns, I'm so sick of him as whatever. Because I will tell you one thing. He did deliver probably the best promo that he's ever done. Yeah. And like you said, because it came from the heart. They probably gave him some bullet points. But you know what? When Roman Reigns is given those bullet points, he doesn't have to read off a teleprompter. He is good. Let him be like that, and eventually it's gonna be awesome, because the fans are going to cheer him. He's actually gonna be cheered against Brock Lesnar at New Orleans, because at WrestleMania, because the fans are gonna know that Brock is on his way out and that Roman Reigns is protecting the business that the marks love.
Well, I think, like I say, same marks. We're kind of marks ourselves, Jeff, too.
Oh, of course, but, me as a mark get pissed off when you have people saying good riddance, because it's not good riddance, because they're looking at it as a fan and not the business of WWE. Question for you. Do you think they're better off by letting Brock Lesnar go?
I think at this stage right now, no, because he's the hot commodity. The problem is right now, because rumors have gone out that, you know, Bobby Lashley most likely has signed with WWE or is in terms of a negotiation process. That's probably one guy left. I mean, here's the problem with when you deal with a freak athlete like Brock Lesnar, Jeff, is who else is out there for him? So maybe him leaving, going to the UFC is the best thing he could do, because how many times have we spoken to talent, right? Sometimes it's good for somebody to leave, go away for a while, whether it be UFC or doing something else, and then come back later, because of, you know, even though Brock Lesnar is very limited in his dates, it's getting kind of to the point where, like, well, who else is out there? We've seen him with Seth. We've seen him with Roman. We've seen him with Strowman once, at least. What's next? Bray Wyatt? And I don't know. I just threw that name out there.
Well, Lashley, like you said, if he signed, and of course, our buddy Brad Shepard says that he signed, we're going to take his word for it. So you can see maybe them at SummerSlam, but you just don't know when that contract expires.
Is it good for the business? Twofold. Hindsight's 20/20, because, again, Roman is your guy. He's the handpicked guy from Vince McMahon. He wants him to be the face of this company. So in long-term-wise, short-term-wise, it doesn't make great business sense. But long-term-wise, eventually it's going to happen, because Brock Lesnar will eventually step away and say, I don't want to do this anymore.
Okay, how about this?
And I want to go in my secluded area and not deal with anybody anymore.
All right, so I still don't know whether it's a yes or no from you, but I want to know this. Do you think he's as needed as he
I just answered you. It doesn't make sense business-wise on the short term.
Okay, perfect. So do you think, though, that compared to 4 years ago when he re-signed, do you think they need him more now, or did they need him more back then?
I don't think they need him more now. It's in the direction they're going, they don't need Brock Lesnar anymore. Because if Roman Reigns defeats him, if it's still a singles match, one-on-one, if Roman Reigns defeats Brock Lesnar and Brock Lesnar goes off to the UFC or does whatever he wants to do, Roman Reigns is the guy, that's it. You get hurt by losing him, because he's fulfilled his obligation. He's fulfilled the purpose of what he was supposed to do, is build and do this coronation, which is funny. I think the coronation was supposed to be at WrestleMania in Dallas. Didn't happen, so the coronation is going to be supposedly here in New Orleans. He served his purpose. So, no, I don't think they'll miss him if he leaves. And he can always come back if he wants to. So he's still at that age where he can still come back. He's still a monster, and it still works.
What about the idea that the whole Braun Strowman is in waiting due to this whole Johnny Bravo, expose that's going to happen in a few days, where a lot of superstars, including Roman Reigns, they're going to shed some light on some steroid
usage. I'm so curious to see how that ends up.
Do you think that Braun is waiting in the wing? They're keeping Braun on the side just in case something like that were to happen. Do you think WWE is fearing this coming out?
I don't know if it's fear for that particular reason. I think when you listen to the audience and the crowd, and it's funny, it seems to always happen on WrestleMania. The plan you have going into WrestleMania isn't necessarily the plan that could actually happen, because, you know, the whole situation with Daniel Bryan, the whole situation with WrestleMania 31 where Seth came in, it was supposed to be Roman Reigns' night, but they switched it. In this scenario, I think there's just so much momentum. You saw the crowd reaction in Elimination Chamber for a guy like Braun Strowman. People want him and Brock Lesnar to go back one-on-one again for a second time. I think that's the moneymaker, in my opinion. And if Braun Strowman is being kept on the side as a backup plan in case something happens and Roman Reigns cannot fulfill his obligations to go to WrestleMania for whatever reason, I think it's a dangerous thing, because you're keeping him on the side, but you better have a backup plan in case it doesn't work out and then Braun Strowman isn't in the main event, because then you see a guy like Braun Strowman with all the momentum, we talked about how good he's being booked, not have any plans for WrestleMania, which is a weird thing. I ultimately feel it's going to be somehow a triple threat match. And this way, you save face with Brock Lesnar. You keep Braun Strowman still in that main event picture. And you help even elevate Roman Reigns even more because you give him even more insurmountable odds because he's got to deal with Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, that would really seem like something WWE would do.
That'd be another feather in his cap.
But then again, how many times can Braun be dominant but yet lose the big one? You know what I mean? So that's another thing you have to think of, too, if you're booking a triple threat match. But it's going to be interesting to see. But we've got a ways to go. This whole Brock Lesnar situation, we'll see how it develops next week on Raw, whether he'll show up. Paul Heyman had an interesting twist on how WWE spun it around here, that it's all on Brock Lesnar. So that's going to be good to see the dialogue between all three guys there. It's going to be interesting to see what Paul Heyman has to say if he shows up next week by himself as the advocate for Brock. So much to talk about, too, about the whole women's championship scenario. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the whole John Cena, his path to WrestleMania. There could be some bumps in the road there as well as we're going to kind of preview this Ring of Honor Manhattan Mayhem card, too. But you know what, Trendsetter, you're able to talk to Ring of Honor star Shane Taylor, who joined us here on the High Spot podcast, and he talked about his matchup as he will join Christopher Daniels, Frank Kazarian, Scorpio Sky, and they will take on the Bullet Club members, Adam Page, Marty Scurll, and the Young Bucks. So that's one of the awesome matches that you're going to see this Saturday night at the Manhattan Center in New York City. Of course, Cody and Flip Gordon are going to go one-on-one. But talking about this matchup, Trendsetter, Shane Taylor is an amazing athlete for a big guy. Just talk about your interview with Shane Taylor.
Well, first of all, I couldn't have been more excited to talk to Shane Taylor. But again, let's get it right, folks, that this guy is everything he is. He is a mountain of a man. He is somebody you don't want to mess with in the ring. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see this whole tag team competition to see where he shines. Because we've seen what we've seen at Christopher Daniels, Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky. And obviously we know the Bullet Club members and who they are and what they've done. This is really a great chance for Shane Taylor to show what he's all about. I'm sure he will, especially in New York City. But, you know, folks, Jeff introduced him as Ring of Honor superstar Shane Taylor. You know, he is more than that, folks. He is basically the guy who, you know, he's the teeth smashing, as I call him, jaw cracking kid from the east side of Cleveland, Ohio, superstar Shane Taylor, and had the ability of speaking with him. Basically, what I wanted to ask was not only how excited he was for the event, but the excitement it was to, you know, just there always seems to be a special feeling, Jeff, when you see events in New York City. It's more exciting. There's an anticipation growing. So I want to ask Shane Taylor the difference from all over the world that he's wrestled to wrestling in New York City, and this is what he had to say here on the High Spot Podcast, presented to you by Cheap Pops Podcast Network. All right, guys, really excited for our next guest here on the High Spot Podcast. I mean, Ring of Honor, Jeff and I went to Final Battle. Really excited to be part of that event and now going to be part of another event, Manhattan Mayhem, Ring of Honor, from the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City. What we have here is a very special guest, ladies and gentlemen. And by special, I mean this man alone uses splashes, slams, unrelenting violence on his opponents. He is a teeth-smashing, jaw-cracking kid from the east side of Cleveland, Ohio. Ring of Honor superstar, notorious Shane Taylor, thank you so much for coming on the show. And you guys want to catch Shane Taylor, you guys can catch him on Twitter at Shane216Taylor. Shane, thank you so much for giving us a few minutes of your time. How are you doing today, man?
Thank you for having me. That was one hell of an intro.
Well, you know, it served its purpose right, because by having a quality guest like you, only deserved, rightfully so, an intro like that. So hopefully I did you honor by doing that. But Shane, you know, first thing that pops into my mind here is that Jeff and I, we were part of Ring of Honor Final Battle. We covered that event for the High Spot Podcast. What's it like wrestling in New York City? Is it a different type of atmosphere? I understand maybe it's not necessarily nerves. There's always a lot of anxiety going to big events like this. But can you just describe the different feeling it is to wrestle in New York City?
I think with any city that has that sort of a name and that sort of history, you're going to be a little more amped to perform there. New York has had, you know, a great history. You know, you think about Madison Square Garden, you think about all of the great matches that have happened in that city and the performers that have done it. And you just kind of hope that one day people talk about a match that you had or talk about you in that same light. So any sort of stage like that is going to be time to put on your best performance and step up in those big moments.
talking about big moments, you have a big moment yourself, or maybe something you're used to now because you expect to be in that type of spotlight. You called Social Uncensored going one-on-one against the Bullet Club. It will be you, Christopher Daniels, Frank Kazarian, yourself, and Scorpio Sky against Adam Page, Marty Scurll, and the Young Bucks. The excitement, is there a level of excitement behind it? I mean, you spoke about wrestling in New York. There's always that feeling of being amped. A little special added pressure for yourself to kind of want to steal the show in this event.
Absolutely. I mean, you're in there with the best, you know, faction and some of the best wrestlers in the world right now with the Bullet Club and the Bucks and Skrull and Page. And like I was saying, with cities, it's also with opponents, though, too. You know, when guys stepped up to play Jordan, they were, you know, I mean, they brought their A game. And that's sort of the same thing here. There are a lot of goals and a lot of dreams that I have in professional wrestling. And the first step is making the name for myself in matches like this and situations like this. So for me, it's not another day at the office. You know, there are nerves. There is anxiety because I know exactly what I want to do. I know exactly where I want to go. And the path to all those dreams goes directly through the Young Bucks and the Bullet Club. So, you know, come March 3rd and come Manhattan Mayhem, they're gonna get Shane Taylor at his best. They're gonna get me at the top of my game and more violent than ever.
Well, I feel sorry for those guys. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes one bit at all, knowing that you're going to bring your A game there too. So when it comes to a situation like this, where it's literally so many people in the ring, does the psychology change in terms of, like, there's just so many more things to be paying attention to that it's very different when it's basically just a one-on-one confrontation?
Well, for sure. You know, there are more weapons coming at you, more feet, more hands, more bodies, you know what I mean? So you always kind of have to have your head on a swivel. In matches like this, especially because the Bullet Club has kind of mastered the multi-man style. So being in the match itself is going to be crazy, but being there with guys that are that proficient at it makes it that much harder. So they're a well-oiled team. They're a good unit. And honestly, it's going to be a tough challenge. You know, I've never teamed with Sky or with Kazarian or with Daniels, you know, so I'm going to rely on their teamwork and really kind of just add my own flavor to it as we go along, and hopefully we can pull out the W.
Well, most likely it might be relying on you basically taking the entire Bullet Club on yourself because you are the muscle of that team, no question about it, Shane. Shane, you know,
we got to do that, but that's what we do.
Exactly, right? It's easy night for them, and might be an easy night for you. Who knows? Can't wait to see it. But Shane, you know, you debuted, correct me if I'm wrong, somewhere around November of 2017, correct, with Ring of Honor?
It was maybe 2015. Then I started to become more regular around like end of 2016.
I gotcha. Well, now we're in 2018. Everything's brand new. I'm sure, like, you know, we're still early in the new year, believe it or not, though it seems like, you know, the new year came and went so fast and it seems like ages ago. But looking back at, in terms of, you know, 2015 to where Ring of Honor now is in terms of a Wild World stage in 2018, what type of progression have you seen from Ring of Honor itself, involvement that you've been in it, that you've seen progressed where Ring of Honor, it seems like, you know, a lot of people have said this before in the past that they're slowly building themselves up. It really seems now that they're kind of getting to that next level. Do you feel the same way being part of that roster?
Oh, absolutely. And you can feel it. You know, you can feel the growth and you can feel the expansion. You can feel the energy from the crowd as more and more people are starting to buy into what we're doing. When the houses are going up and, you know, the boys are making more cash, that's always a good thing. Right now, I think we're riding a very hot wave, and the goal is to maintain that and build it and see just how far we can take this.
You know, something that Jeff and I have covered on the High Spot podcast, when we talk about other promotions out there, we always kind of always feel like we get into the argument with other people or discussion, whatever you want to call it. Sometimes people are really, really sentimental about it when it comes to, you know, everybody seems to be wanting to compete with the WWE. Everything that WWE is doing, they're trying to mimic it or trying to make it better in their way. And I've always emphasized with Jeff that it's not more about promotions trying to do better or one-up the WWE. It's more of them developing their own identity. Would you agree in the same terms right now, where it seems like Ring of Honor is doing something completely different than what you would see on WWE programming?
Yes, and from the moves that we do to the characters that we have, it's everything that ROH is doing is for ROH and for its fans, whether that be fans here at home or fans internationally. That's what we do it for. And if people really paid close attention, I would feel like they would see that it's not so much other people are trying to be like WWE. I feel like they see what a lot of smaller places are doing, and they're trying to mimic what they do to bring in that fan base and to capitalize on what we do. When you go out and you pick the roster that you pick based off the name that they made while doing, you know, Ring of Honor or anything else like that, that shows me that we're more on your radar than the opposite way, you know? So, when you can see the talent that is cultivated in a Ring of Honor, and then you go look at their roster, and I dare say at least 50% of their roster, if not more, has some Ring of Honor tie, you know, it only goes to show, you know, and be a real testament to the fact that, you know, what we're doing is working, you know, and we're just going to keep doing it.
Well, it's definitely working, Shane. I mean, you can definitely tell from what, you know, everybody's covering in terms of the internet and social media being as gigantic as it is right now. You know, you talked about the fans, and that's always something I always find really exciting when I talk to talent about it. I mean, you would like to think, at least the foregone conclusion is that we were all fans growing up watching the business. I mean, you know, Jeff and I were fans watching it, never grew out of it. Thankfully, we never grew out of it because we enjoy it so much. What got you into the business? What got you to want to, was it something you saw on TV? Was it an event you went to? Was it just, what captivated you to want to be part of the business?
Honestly, it was just, it was the reaction that I saw from the people in the crowd. You know, my dad took me to the Richfield Coliseum as they were touring back in the day. And I remember it was Texas Tornado against the Warlord. And we were sitting there and we were pretty high up. And the match went to a double count out, and I just remember the place going absolutely nuts. And I just sat there thinking to myself, what world is this that this is your job to be able to go out there and just get that sort of reaction from people you don't even know? Like, they've never met these people. They don't know these people. You know what I mean? But you got, you know, grown men throwing beer. You got, you know, women cussing. You got kids going absolutely bonkers. I'm like, whoa, this is crazy.
I'm sure you're one of those kids going bonkers too, right?
Oh, going absolutely nuts, you know? So, you know, for me, it was like, at that moment, it's like, all right, I want to do that, you know? Now, obviously, I had no idea on how to do that, you know what I mean? Back then, the only thing that you thought was, well, go to Vince, you know?
But how do you do that, you know? It's like back in the 80s
exactly,
and 90s,
exactly.
You had no idea.
It's like saying go to the moon.
Exactly. You know? Like, you want to become a wrestler, Shane, right? Okay, how do I do that? Is there a website you can go to? I mean, nowadays, it's so accessible, right? You go online, how do I become a wrestler?
You know?
Google it, and you'll find schools and academies and a lot of prestigious people out there who've been in the business, and they're like, okay, there you go. But back then, when you're watching, and I was watching it, if you wanted to be a wrestler, you know, it's like literally, okay, like you just said, I want to be an astronaut, or I want to win $1 million. Okay, how do you do that? It's like completely impossible.
Right.
But, you know, growing up, you know, you've seen the business and how it's changed and how it's evolved. Some people say it's evolved for the better. Some people say it's evolved for the worse because they're like old school approach. What's your mentality of it? Because what I always find really cool is that you're seeing it from two different perspectives. Unlike somebody who just kind of, for example, they've done a physical sport. We know like NFL players, it's really popular for them to do a career in the NFL. When that's done, they can progress into professional wrestling. I mean, the first person pops into mind is Goldberg, and look at the career he's had. Not that everybody's going to be compared to him. But for you, I mean, you see it from the fans' perspective, and now you see it from the business side. Do you see it in both ends? When you're going out there and you want to create and you want to kind of create a storyline or your character or yourself out there, you know, what do you see it from? Do you see it from both, or do you see it from one side more than the other?
I kind of see it a little bit of, you know, a little bit of everything, because you have, especially in today's changing society and climate, you can't do some of the things that you used to be able to do back then to really delve into a character or really explore all the nuances, you know, all of the details of that character that, you know, would really complete it. You know, there's the moves that you decide to do. You know, some people, depending on where you're at on the card, you know, some people may have a problem with that. But at the end of the day, whatever makes you money and whatever draws fans to you, if it works, it works. You know, who am I to tell you not to do something that makes you money? You know, who am I to tell you to do something that does, you know what I mean, that the people care about? If that's what works for you, that's what works for you. So that's the way I see it. Obviously, you want to do it as safely as possible and make as much sense as possible so you can continue to do this as long as possible. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we're here to put butts in seats, and we're here to make money. And if what you do, no matter what it is, does that, then by all means, keep doing it.
You know, Shane, and here is Shane Taylor, gentleman, Ring of Honor superstar, notorious Shane Taylor. I have to say that correctly before Shane completely obliterates me when I see him in New York City on March 3rd. Don't want that to happen. Shane,
no, sir.
No, don't want that to happen. Not at all. But Shane, when you're talking about obviously making money and, you know, this being a very grueling business, and we've seen, you know, Jeff and I, and respect so much the daily grind that you guys go through, not only from a physical standpoint, what you guys do in the ring and training, get yourselves in shape, but the mental strain that happens because you guys are basically living out of suitcases. What mentally, what advice or what have you gained throughout the years that you've been in this business? Have you kind of figured out in a sense for yourself?
The advice that I would give is twofold. Have a team around you that is really for you, because a lot of people will tell you a lot of things and give you a lot of advice, and it's not for your best interest. Have a team around you of people that you know have your best interest at heart that can keep you grounded, because this business is going to have a lot of highs and lows. It is going to be a roller coaster of emotion, and you need people that are going to be able to keep you level, because the wrong thing said at the wrong time can cost you more than you even know, because you were in your feelings or you were upset or what have you, you know? So, to me, that would be one of the biggest things, is stay grounded, stay level. Don't take things personal. And then for me, my family is my biggest motivator. My daughter, my fiance, and just really giving them the sort of life, opposite of what I had growing up. And so for me, as long as I can keep my eyes on that, keep focused, the plane rides, the living in the suitcases, the hotels, none of that bothers me, man. Like, all of that is just it's all a part of the journey. You know, those are the things that come with the territory. And it's just some of those things that when you get into this, you accept, and you just got to deal with it, you know?
No, definitely. And you talked about being grounded. Definitely, your fiance and your daughter do that for you and give you extra motivation to go through that daily grind because you know you're doing it for them now, not so much as for yourself. Going and talking about the, you know, further about the event that's going to happen on March 3rd, Manhattan Mayhem. So excited for this event going on. But at the same time, you know, it seems like we're talking about Ring of Honor. We talked about the elevation of Ring of Honor you mentioned before, right, when I asked you. But also, it just seems like there's a huge boom in professional wrestling from 2017, maybe prior to that. But Jeff and I really started focusing in 2017 on this business. And now in 2018, it feels like it's a huge boom, especially when it comes to social media. Because when you look at what the Young Bucks are doing, or if you've watched episodes of Being the Elite and the Bullet Club and stuff like that, it seems like now the power, I think, feels, from my perspective, back in the hands of the performers, where they can go out there and brand and market themselves, get their endorsement deals, get their stuff from Hot Topic. And do you feel it from you being in the business now that using tools like social media and being able to, you know, brand yourself and have all your content out there that you can share with everybody all over the world? I mean, YouTube is such a huge tool as well that you could post matches on YouTube. And if you ever heard of somebody, what do you do? Like, remember we talked about before, I want to be a wrestler. Now, well, who is this guy? Let me just go YouTube and see if I can find out what his content is. It's so easy now to access it from a marketing standpoint. How have you used social media not only to, you know, brand yourself and book yourself, but how have you used social media kind of, you know, engaging your fan base too? Of a lot of people that follow you and want to know and follow your career.
You listed some great examples as far as the Young Bucks and the Bullet Club and the stuff that they do. They've completely changed the game, you know. So and when you look at an industry like music, it's sort of the same thing. Back in the day, the only way to really make money was to go to a major label. Now guys are just doing it themselves, you know, with Spotify or iTunes or whatever else, you know what I mean? Like they found a way to get rid of the middleman, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And for wrestlers,
I can't remember the last time I bought a CD. Do you remember?
Exactly. That's exactly my point. And I do because, I believe it was J. Cole's last CD and I'm a huge fan of his. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to buy it and support the artist. Not that he needs my, you know, $10, but
still, you wanted to support him. Exactly.
Still, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's the same thing. And now you have guys that can go out, brand themselves. We know when you have sites like a Pro Wrestling Tees where guys can go on and just get merch made and sell it, you know, have all the overhead covered and things like that. That's a big help. Cause then you're not like lugging shirts around and all that stuff. So it's all really good to see the different avenues that guys have to make money.
Speaking of not just making money though, is obviously, something that I always found pretty, inspiring is that when people do that now and take advantage of all those things you just mentioned, it's really they're investing in themselves for the long term. Because I mean,
Look,
you know, we talked about the Bullet Club and how you said the Young Bucks kind of changed the game. I kind of feel a guy like Cody too has kind of changed it as well. A guy who was well known in WWE, you know, probably didn't have a huge spot in WWE, but decided, you know what, he's unhappy. And sometimes it's very easy when you're comfortable in something to stick with it because, you know, it's just something you just, you know, and the fear of the unknown is there and you don't want to deal with it. And Cody basically leaving WWE, leaving pretty much guaranteed money in a sense, could be making a nice living, and decided to bet on himself. Is that inspirational for the talent out there that see a guy like Cody bet on himself and maybe possibly give the idea that, you know, I don't want to assume anything from people's minds. I'm sure, at least from my perspective, everybody's goal might be going to WWE, but ultimately not everybody can get there. Does that also give a sense too that, hey, I can make a great living on, you know, as people want to call it, the independence, but I can make a good living wrestling all over the world and not have to worry about, you know, answering to you know, the juggernaut or the machine?
I think it works both ways, because now you've also given guys up there leverage because they see what can happen. And so now come contract time, you go, well, I'm making X amount. I know this guy over here made that what he's doing. So, and a lot of the allure too is you get creative control when you work for yourself. You know what I mean? Like you get to be who you want to be as opposed to what someone told you to be. You know, that's a big thing. And if you want to, you can control your schedule and work less days or work more. So you get to have more time with your family. Like, one of the biggest things that people have asked me is, well, wouldn't you want to do this or that? And I go, that completely depends on the situation. You know, if it's cool with my family, then that's one thing. If I, you know, I don't want to be one of the guys that missed their whole child's life growing up. You know, I want to be able to say that I was there, that I saw that I was there for the first dances and the homecomings and the birthdays and the graduations, all that stuff, you know? So, you know, if it's possible to make as good, if not a better living doing independence or traveling to different places around the world, and you get creative control and you get to spend more time with your family, that's a pretty good deal. So at that point, you really have to decide, do you want to be happy or do you want the money? You know, because money can be made on both sides. Obviously, there's a huge upside, you know, going up there, but that's the choice that guys got to make. And if you've already been there and you've already made that and you've already saved it and you're comfortable, why not? Why not take a chance and see what you can do elsewhere? But it's a very interesting time because, you know, you hear reports all the time. Guys are unhappy here or they're unhappy there, who might jump ship here or who might jump ship there. And it's like the Wild West out there right now.
Yeah, it definitely makes for more an exciting time. And like you said, now it has that feeling that anything could happen, that, you know, you don't need to see, they don't need to be WWE guys, as opposed that, you know, they can, you know, advance. And, you know, you look at what New Japan's doing, you look at what Ring of Honor's doing. Even, for example, something like Lucha Underground, which is something a little bit different in terms of they go more based on story than anything, but they still use the ring and wrestling to tell that story. Just an exciting time right now, not just to be a wrestling fan, but I can only imagine to be a wrestler in the business if you've been in the business for a good amount of time, or if you're young and up and comer. So, you know, with that said, you know, we're in 2018 and, you know, we're talking about, you know, your entire career basically in a nutshell, and talking about, you know, building up for Manhattan Mayhem. It's going to happen March 3rd, folks, in New York City, the Manhattan Center, the Hammerstein Ballroom, guys. So don't miss out on it, this event. If there are tickets, anything left, go check it out. You don't want to miss a Ring of Honor event, especially seeing this man, notorious Shane Taylor. Shane, in 2018, as you know, this year still fresh and brand new, any personal things you hope to accomplish, maybe not necessarily in your terms of your wrestling career, but things you hope to accomplish in 2018 that you didn't get a chance to, depending on your schedule?
There are a lot of people that I want to wrestle. There's a lot of matches that I want to have. There's a lot of places that I want to debut. There's a lot that I want, you know, that's out there to be had. First and foremost, I think is winning Ring of Honor gold in some form or fashion. In every interview that I've done, I always tell people I'm greedy. I want it all. You know, I think right now the only person who's held every title, and I can't say that yet, would be Taven, who's just about as close as you can be. He's just missing that last one. But that's a goal of mine. I want to win every Ring of Honor championship there is. I also want to sort of follow in the footsteps of the guy that trained me in Ray Rowe and go to New Japan Pro Wrestling. And I want to take that over just like he did. And try to dominate as much, if not more, than he did. So, you know, and everywhere in between, from your Rev Pros to everywhere that Ring of Honor and New Japan partner with and team with, and all around on the globe, I want my name and my brand to be synonymous with not only having balls to the wall matches, but just, you know, creating that big fight feel, creating that big fight environment, that excitement, that intensity, and take that with me for the fans that come to watch me all around the world.
Shane, you make a pretty interesting point there in terms of, you know, being a little selfish, right? We all want to be selfish, especially when it's a business like you're in right now where, you know, you have to make your own opportunities. But something about you is you're very unique in yourself because, you know, for a guy your height and your size, not a lot of people move around like you do. So it's very unique. What do you think, you know, when you look at certain promotions or like Jeff and I like to joke about when you watch Monday Night Raw, it's the land of the giants. You got the Strowmans, you got the Lesnars, you got the Roman Reigns, you got these gigantic guys, 6 foot tall and, you know, almost close to 300 pounds. What separates you feel, from, you know, I wouldn't say try to compare yourself to anybody because obviously you're uniquely different yourself, but what do you think separates yourself from like a lot of the big men that we normally see? Because you clearly don't move like a big man.
My intensity and my willingness to do whatever I have to do and to go wherever point that I need to go mentally to get the job done. A lot of the guys that, you know, are there have had great athletic careers elsewhere, but not a lot of people have seen what I've seen or come from where I'm from to be able to survive that and still be successful or still be alive, you know? So I feel like that's my edge. And what separates me is that I have something to fight for, to not go back to, that they may not necessarily have, you know? They could just not want to fail. I know what happens if I fail. I can't fail, you know? So there's a difference between not wanting to and can't. So I think that's what comes out when I perform, and that's what I hang my hat on, is just wanting it more than anybody else and being genuine in that intensity and that fire and that focus, because for me, this is it. You know, so there is no plan B. There is no backup plan. There is nothing else. There's this, and this has to work.
Well, there's no question about you.
I think that's what makes me different.
No, you're right. That's what makes you different. There's no question about your intensity. You definitely see it when you're watching or you're live there seeing you perform. Got to ask you. You talked about, you know, a lot of it comes from where you came from. You know, Cleveland, Ohio. I got to ask this. I'm sure you get asked this a lot. Are you a Cleveland Cavaliers fan? Are you with LeBron?
I've been a Cavs fan since Mark Price and Brad Doherty, brother. Like, you know what I mean? So
let me ask you the question everybody keeps asking themselves. Do you think LeBron's going to stay, or does it even matter at this point right now?
I mean, he could, but if he doesn't, oh well. Like, and I know that I may be in the minority for saying that, but I mean, the guys brought more positive notoriety to our city than just about any other professional athlete has. Mm-hmm. That's all you can really ask. You know, he was here for 7-8 years. He left under bad circumstances. I understand people being upset with how he left, but people tend to forget too. In pro sports, fans lose sight of the business side of it, right? You could have a guy that spent his whole career here, and the first time he loses a step or the first time he has a bad season, the team cuts him, the fans want him gone, you know, the whole nine. Yet you have a guy that wants to leave to go pursue something for himself and his family, and now he's a traitor? Like, what? If you have no loyalty to them, why should they have any loyalty to you? You know, like, and people lose sight of that.
Yeah, and you're right.
Like,
they
lose sight of the fact that these guys are just humans who have families. They just happen to be exceptionally good at this activity. You know what I mean? And so for me, it's like, hey, he did his thing here. He made some great memories. He ultimately
won a championship.
Accomplished what he said he was going to do.
Exactly.
Win the championship. He didn't say he'd create a dynasty here. He just said he said he'd win one. He did that.
He did.
And so now I'm like, hey, you know, hey, man. Do what you want to do. If you want to go to LA and make movies and be a mogul, go do that. If you want to go back to Miami and chill with your homeboys, do that. Like, if you want to stay in Cleveland and keep doing the work you're doing here
Shane,
and with the community, awesome.
Be honest with me, though. When he made the decision and he decided to take his talents to South Beach, were you one of those that were a little annoyed by it? I mean, more than annoyed, like really pissed off that he left? Because, again, you guys have been dying for a champion. So you weren't.
No, and this is why. I will say this. I was annoyed more so of how he did it than that he did do it. Like,
okay.
I wasn't upset that he left.
The manner in which he left annoyed everybody. Exactly.
Yeah, like cool, man. Like, they didn't put the guys around him that he wanted or needed. I get that. Like, when you go to the finals and your second best player is Booby Gibson, come on, bro. Like, I mean, come on. Like, it is what it is. I love my team, but damn. Like,
So what's left now for the Cleveland Indians and the Cleveland right. Browns to win a Super Bowl?
Right. I mean, bro, he's taken, you know, Eric Snow to the finals. Like, come on. so I was annoyed because the coach and the general manager of the Cavs shouldn't find out when we find out that you're leaving. If you're going to leave, you knew that day one. Tell them day one, hey, guys, I'm out. I'll do a re-sign and a sign-and-trade. Y'all can get the world for me, and the Cavs will still be a good team. And then leave. Do what you got to do. No problems with that. Good business. You know, hopefully you come back. No problems. But once we lose all of the free agents, and once we lose all the time, we don't get the coach, and now we literally have no moves left, and then you decide to leave, now it's like, come on, man. You know, so... That's why I was upset, because of how it happened, not because that he left. But yeah, the Indians, man, the last couple seasons, brother, oh, heartbreakers.
I know.
We were up 3-1 in the World Series to the Cubs, you know, and then all of a sudden, there were a billion new Cubs fans that have never been Cubs fans before, but that's fine. You know?
Oh yeah, a lot of bandwagon jumpers there. Yeah, definitely. I saw them too.
Dude.
It was
and I live in Houston, and this city is the king of bandwagon fans. Like,
I can imagine.
I don't care who hears it, y'all are, and you know you are if you're honest. King of bandwagon fans. So once the Astros were out, you know, everybody all of a sudden in the city of Houston became a Cubs fan out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, this okay. is it isn't legit though, but hey, at least you were, you know, most people can't even say that they saw a championship, especially the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm sure if you were to compare all three sure. of those sports teams, I'm sure people probably think the Indians had a better chance than the Cavaliers or the Browns. Cavaliers end up winning a championship. If LeBron James does leave, you know, obviously you won't be shedding a tear for it, because you're right, it is a business, and most people tend to forget that.
Right.
And, you know, an athlete's right. Lifespan is very short. So LeBron's done a lot
Absolutely.
In his career, and, you know, he probably wants to win another championship. If he can't find it in Cleveland, he will find it elsewhere. So, you know, people in
Absolutely.
Cleveland grow up, definitely. It's easy for me to say that because
hey,
I don't live in Cleveland.
For sure.
I know. But,
hey, for sure. But that's the thing. Like, I personally feel like he might as well go to the Spurs. I'm like, yeah. he's never played for a Hall of Fame coach. He can do that with Popovich. They can move him down to the four, put Aldridge at the five. And you still have, you know, room to play around at the one and two, you know, and then that, I mean, you have guys that can take games over. He doesn't have to play 48 minutes a game or some crazy thing like that. He can get rest, and then you'll have a, you know, rested LeBron for the playoffs in the West. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap, man. You're definitely right about that. Do you think they're the best team in the East right now, considering all the trades that happened? Or no, they're still kind of an in-between type of team right now?
I think they're a better team than they were. I think the best team in the East is Boston right now. But I feel like the Cavs have improved. I feel like the best team is Boston. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the Cavs got younger with the trades. They got more athletic. They're playing better defense. And guys that they have now can create their own offense even without LeBron on the floor, which was a big problem before. So, I'm excited. I feel like they're the second best team in the East right now.
Time will tell.
The playoffs. We will see who wins.
You're right. Time will tell. The playoffs are right around the corner. We'll find out firsthand where this team stands. And what will happen eventually in the future of LeBron James? Will he leave Cleveland winning another championship, or will he leave now on his terms and going somewhere else? We'll find out. But again, guys, we have a huge thanks has to go out to Notorious Shane Taylor. Thank you so much for being a part of the High Spot Podcast. We greatly appreciate it. Guys, check it out. March 3rd, this coming Saturday, Manhattan Mayhem. it's going to be exciting. New York City, you know, I always feel the Ring of Honor or any promotion brings it when they come to New York City. That's just a personal feeling of mine since I am part of the metropolitan area. So it's going to be exciting to see you there. You're going to be teaming with Christopher Daniels, Frank Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky going against the Bullet Club, Adam, Hangman Page, the villain Marty Scurll, and the Young Bucks. So it's going to be definitely exciting. Can't wait to see Shane Taylor basically run everybody out of that ring, because who's going to want to face him one-on-one?
Absolutely.
I have no idea. Shane, thank you so much for your time. Guys, if you want to catch Shane and see what he's up to, catch him on Twitter at Shane216Taylor. Talking basketball, talking everything. And Shane, looking forward to seeing you in New York City on March 3rd. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it. And to everybody listening and to everyone that supports me, it's been a crazy 10 years so far.
Does it feel like 10 years to you or no?
It doesn't as I go through my day, but when I wake up, yeah.
That's the answer I was waiting to hear. Maybe not in terms of like the mindset, because it's like one shot, right? But when you wake up in the morning, it feels like 10 years, right?
Oh, yeah. Every day I will wake up, I'm like, why do I do this? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember. Okay.
You got to do your DDP yoga, man. You got to do that yoga.
Absolutely.
It's a free plug there for DDP, although I'm not getting any royalties for it. Might as well just throw it out there because I'm doing it and it's working wonders for me. So, Shane, thank you so much, man. Really appreciate it. I will talk to you down the road, and hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you, boys.
All right, that was Shane Taylor, the Notorious One, joined the Trendsetter. Great interview, man. Awesome getting to know about Shane Taylor, Cleveland native, very passionate about the Cleveland Cavaliers and everything Cleveland. So definitely.
Yeah, we talked about the Cavaliers. We talked about the Indians. We talked about the Browns, specifically LeBron James.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, hey, at the end of the day, like I said during the interview, he got his championship. He got a chance to see it live and in person, whether he was watching it on TV or was actually there. So, you know, for all Cleveland fans, get over it. Let's just deal with what's going on in the playoffs for the NBA. Let it happen and then worry about it later on, because ultimately, if LeBron James does leave, hey, you got your championship. So, hey, thanks for doing what you're going to do.
And, of course, Shane Taylor will be a part of Ring of Honor Manhattan Mayhem this Saturday, March the 3rd, from the Manhattan Center in New York City, the Hammerstein Ballroom. Such matches as Cody, the American Nightmare, will take on Flip Gordon. Fans, you get to choose the stipulation here. If Flip Gordon wins, he could get booked into All In, so we definitely want to see that. Also, SoCal Uncensored, which is, of course, Scorpio King, Shane Taylor, Christopher Daniels, and Frank Kazarian take on Bullet Club members Adam Page, Marty Scurll, and the Young Bucks. Are the Bullet Club fine? We will find out this Saturday night. Plus, Punishment Martinez takes on Soberano Jr. Dalton Castle teams up with Volador, and they take on Jay Lethal and Ultimo Guerrero. And, of course, Kenny King and fans, you get to choose the team members for Kenny King as they take on Silas Young, the television champion, and Beer City Bruiser, along with Brian Malone. So it's going to be a packed card. Trendsetter, hope to see you there for Ring of Honor Manhattan Mayhem. Of course, it all leads to the 16th anniversary of Ring of Honor in Las Vegas on March the 9th. And then, of course, Supercard of Honor, which is on April the 7th in New Orleans. So that's going to be a crazy match.
New Orleans.
Kenny Omega against the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, who is the true leader of the Bullet Club. So Ring of Honor is in a great time right now, as well as with New Japan. Of course, New Japan Strong Style Evolved, which will be there in March, heading into Long Beach. And it'll be headlined by Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega against the Young Bucks. Wrestling is everywhere, my friend.
It is everywhere, Jeff. And similar to, you know, what we're talking about in the interview when I was speaking to Notorious One, it's that, you know, something you and I talk about every single week, it feels like. And with anybody who's been a guest on the show, just the boom and the elevation. There's so much momentum that happened in 2017. Now, granted, the you and I weren't covering as much or as extensively in 2016, but it really feels like it just went up to an upward spiral. It's still rising. And in 2018, it's just continually going on. And when we talk about it, I mean, I think when you and I started the show, we never thought about we'd be talking about things outside of WWE, because that's the main thing everybody wants to talk about. But no, now it is promotions like Ring of Honor. It is situations like New Japan Wrestling. Sometimes we'll be talking about Impact too, if they have something significant on there as well. You know, Lucha Underground, all the independents, and not only in the metropolitan area, but all around the world. And, you know, the power of social media, all this stuff. It's just so exciting right now. It's just an exciting time, not only because it's WrestleMania season, and everybody seems to step up their game around that time, but just to be a wrestling fan in general. It's exciting. exciting right now, and I can't wait for this card here that's coming up in the at the Hammerstein Ballroom. It's going to be exciting, but I can't wait to go to New Orleans to see Cody and Kenny Omega going one-on-one. We're going to be there. It'll be the first time, Jeff, you and I will ever see Kenny Omega perform live, which is a special treat for us. So it's going to be more of a fan experience more than work.
Yeah, and if you go see one event, I'm not going to say, you know, which one to go to because there's going to be so much wrestling in New Orleans. But if you're thinking of going to an event that's not WWE, definitely think of Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor, because you will get to see Kenny Omega and Cody, two of the maybe top two guys right now in the business, go at it, and only Ring of Honor can provide that to you. So definitely go check that out if you are in New Orleans and you're deciding, okay, I'm had my fill of WWE, I got to go see Ring of Honor.
Speaking of New Orleans, what do you think of the new WrestleMania song? I'm going down to New Orleans.
Next.
We're going to be humming that, most likely?
Next.
So you say that, but every theme, I'm sure you're going to be humming that, just like you're humming like the Nationwide commercial and humming Jeff Jarrett's theme song, which I know you'll be doing. Is, here we go. I had to say it.
All right. Anyway, so let's
do you think it comes out to that song or the other one?
No.
The classic
ooh,
one.
Ooh, that's a great question.
Or does he come out the one, you know?
Does he come out on a horse?
No, or the theme song. I can't impersonate or hum the song because for the life of me. But the one he came out with Deborah.
That's Double J E Double O.
No, the one, the very last one. His last stint in WWE when he came out with Deborah.
It's gonna be interesting, man. It's gonna be interesting. I wonder who's gonna induct.
If he comes out to Baby Tonight, that's gonna be like a little.
How about
Jeff Jarrett?
How about Jeff Jarrett being the talk of like everywhere now? Whether people think it's good that he's in the Hall of Fame or not, still has a lot of.
I can only
talking.
Go from my experience for me and Jeff Jarrett at WrestleCon in Orlando. Nice guy. This is where he was kind of promoting the combination of Impact Global Force. I spoke to him briefly. I said, you know, we would love to have you on the show at one point. I know you're really busy. He's like, yeah, I'm really busy because he was doing this. But really nice guy and really humble too. So, really happy for him. But hopefully it doesn't get to his head.
So John Cena's path to WrestleMania.
Do we have to ruin the show by talking about John Cena?
It's a little bumpy because he didn't win the Elimination Chamber, was eliminated early, and now he's trying to call out The Undertaker, but he's been told that it's not going to happen most likely. So now he turns to go to SmackDown.
It's not going
to
happen.
You know, so he goes to losing to the Chamber on Raw, to being able to beat AJ Styles, the champion there, on SmackDown Live, and now he gets involved in the six-pack challenge. Whether he will win that matchup, I don't know. Two questions for you. How come that John Cena is now bugging SmackDown and is going to try to, you know, weasel his way into what I believe is a great match between Nakamura and AJ Styles? I would be you talk about Marx being pissed about Brock Lesnar. I would be so mad if Vince McMahon is like,
that's funny.
Let's throw John Cena in there.
We have a Universal title match that we're desperately asking to be a triple threat match, and we have a WWE championship match where we don't want
to leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
So that bothers me too. And also, where the hell is Shinsuke Nakamura? Why is he not on this Fastlane card? He's not on the Fastlane card.
No, it's a good question. I have
some answers here.
Well, for your first question, why is John Cena, you know, nitpicking and being annoying? He's a free agent, man. He can go wherever he pleases.
Oh, God.
He's earned that right. They've even said it time and time again. He's a free agent. So if only every superstar could do that. You know what? I can't get anything done.
In my right eye.
Oh, yeah. I see. God. Your eyes have red spots on them, too. Oh, that's not good. So we need to get more sleep. But we know that's not going to happen. But that and the fact that why haven't we seen Shinsuke Nakamura? You know, it's funny how we talked about Asuka, right? And her delivering a promo, and I said, less is more. They're really taking it to the extreme with Shinsuke. They're not even showing you him. Like, talk about less. We haven't seen Shinsuke in a very long time.
So I'm going to say it in English. But, I mean, he's not on the card for Fastlane. I don't know if they're going to wait, you know, to... You know, pin him against Rusev, maybe. There's 1 week left to go until Fastlane. I don't know what's going on here, man. But for John Cena, do you still think the path is The Undertaker? Do you think this is just a smokescreen and that eventually he'll lose here at the six-pack challenge and then be at his wit's end? I mean, we've had our buddy Justin Barrasso's report that Rey Mysterio Jr. was backstage. He was about to sign a deal to fight Cena at WrestleMania, which you don't know if that's going to happen. We kind of were told that he wasn't back there, but you have people now speculating that John Cena is going to fight, you know, guys like Rey Mysterio. The Undertaker's still in play. Who knows? Maybe they get so desperate and they have John Cena and the Boogeyman. You don't know what's going to happen here.
Boogeyman.
So, do you think that the smokescreen is still the Undertaker, or do you think that
they're really
desperate in finding John Cena a spot here at WrestleMania? How can John Cena not have a path to WrestleMania? I mean, he's John Cena. He could just decide where he wants to do. Do you think, honestly, that he can't get a creative path to WrestleMania?
Well, I think that's the way they're building up the storyline. Yeah, they're building it up more where it feels like the fact that he's questioning out himself. He's now kind of, you know, talked about how he passed the torch over to Roman Reigns. He had a big weight lifted off his shoulders. You know, can't think of the last time he had a WrestleMania where didn't have something planned. I don't know. In terms of The Undertaker, it's funny he said the Boogeyman. I don't know if they could fill that quota. His asking price is probably
too
a lot.
Too many worms.
Too many. But Undertaker, I think it will always be in play until the closer we get to WrestleMania. Even when we do get to WrestleMania and John Cena still doesn't have a path, it could still happen. I honestly don't want it to happen because I feel right now the way he kind of walked out and supposedly did the favors to Roman Reigns, I don't think it makes any sense. Why would he? But again, who am I to question what Taker wants to do? If Taker wants to come back for another one, let him come back for another one. I just don't think it's the right thing for him to do. I think he should step away. The way he walked out in Orlando was perfect. As far as the Rey Mysterio Jr., I just scratched my head on that one. It's an intriguing match for the fact that we've never seen it before, but for that to be a match and come out of the blue, I don't know how you build that up in a storyline. Is it more of just, I need a path here and I need to, for example, just I need an opponent. So, we'll just sign somebody and that's it. What I found interesting, though, is in the post after Elimination Chamber, which is brutal to watch, by the way, the post show. But watching that, John kind of gave the impression where, like, I don't know if you got this, Jeff, but you know, talking about how he has to find a path and he's got to figure it out. Maybe this feeling where he said, I'm going to have to do some things that are questionable. Could those questionable things be maybe, you know, he turns that heel a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he just goes through drastic measures to get his path.
Because we always talk about reinvention and longevity, Jeff, right? Hulk Hogan had to do it. You know, the only guy who never had to do it, I feel, was Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. He was just a pure baby face. Something in terms of that happen?
I think he'd really have to go away for a long time and then come back, and that would be his final run. But then again,
God damn, he's a part-timer. He should just do what he's told, right?
Yeah, but we're seeing a lot of John Cena, you know, on Raw and SmackDown, and it is
thank
WrestleMania
God he cut his hair,
season.
Though.
Yeah, thank God. And, you know, we will see him more often than not now as, again, we are on that road to WrestleMania, so it'll be John Cena all the time. And just real quick before we go to Brittany Blake here, Fox representatives were at SmackDown Live. I don't know if that was the right show to go to on SmackDown Live, but they were there, which plants the seed. Even Colin Coward, who has berated wrestling fans, and wrestling itself was there taking pictures with Natalya and I think Charlotte Flair.
Yep.
Boy, Fox is really pouring it on. There could be rumors that they get rid of UFC to move in WWE programming. In 2019, I don't know if it's early or mid, but the contract is expiring. Do you think, just as Brock takes a picture with Dana White, do you think that WWE is using this as a ploy to, you know, move that ante up for NBC Universal to sign WWE and actually put a scare into them that they could possibly go to Fox?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It makes perfect sense. And, you know, we talk about smart business sense, right? It makes perfect business sense to use that type of leverage for your favor in order to, and, you know, it's funny that I'm talking about it because I've never done a business deal in my life.
It's smart business, though.
But it does make smart business from the outsider looking in, because why wouldn't you use that to your advantage? And that happened, wow, a huge coup for Fox to be able to do something like that. I don't know how well it would work, though, because, you know, maybe it's just me, but to see WWE programming on the USA Network, and again, it goes back to the question we had, oh man, it's like maybe 5-6 months ago, where it's like, you know, what's the future of cable TV nowadays? You know, I mean, the way they developed the network was the ability to show content, so they didn't have to go to, you know, those types of networks to be able to put their programming on it. So I don't know. It would make sense in terms of, hey, whatever you can get the money, get it. But man, what a weird experience it would be if that was actually the case and actually did happen. So it's developing. We'll see what happens. But my goodness, what a big ploy that would have been if that actually ends up happening.
Would you have to change your music to the Fox?
Oh yeah, it'll be dun dun dun.
This is the WWE on Fox.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll give them some.
Dun dun. I mean, UFC had to do it.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll give them some leeway. But I don't, you know, Raw doesn't even have theme music anymore. Like, maybe during commercial breaks they'll play some music, but they just kind of go right into their shows. So it'll be interesting, but I wouldn't personally like it because I think just the feel would be different. I mean, you know, when UFC moved from Spike, which is now Paramount, it's a different feel behind it. The same.
And when WWE went to TNN, it was weird.
It was weird.
It was just like, what? It's not USA.
It's only when they went back to USA did it kind of feel, okay, we're kind of back to normal here. So it's about maybe sometimes comfort level, but I don't know. Does that affect the deal of the XFL? The XFL be on NBC or the XFL be on Fox?
Well, they still have to find a home for it. So I'm pretty sure since it's after the NFL, I'm pretty sure that WWE would want Fox to take any XFL package. So you could probably find it on a sister station that Fox doesn't affiliate, some other place that Fox does it. So it's going
to
be interesting.
I can't wait till you and I start breaking down XFL games.
I can't wait till we start breaking down finances and deals and stuff like that, because not only is it just wrestling, it's also the art of business and you know, money and projections and sales. And who would have thought we were talking about, you know, does the money fit for WWE sign Brock and all this stuff. So it's not only it's talking about the business of professional wrestling as well, too. And it, of course, it's going to be so there's going to be a lot to talk about in 2019 as the deal expires between USA, NBC, and the WWE. So that's going to be interesting too. But what was great is, you know, we're talking about a solidified company in WWE, right? And now we're talking also about a company that just had their debut show this past weekend in standalone wrestling. And one of the matches was there was, I tell you, women's wrestling is everywhere now.
It is.
Of course, Tennille Dashwood is signed with Ring of Honor and wrestles in the Women's of Honor division, who will also be there this Saturday night at Manhattan Mayhem. She wrestled this past Saturday for Standalone Wrestling. Of course, we had Chad Minnison, one of the co-founders of that event. Successful night, great matches, and one of them was headlined between Tennille Dashwood, a.k.a. Emma, and Brittany Blake. We had a chance to speak to Brittany Blake just before her matchup with Tennille, and what was her scouting report? What exactly was she feeling as she was heading into probably the biggest match of her career so far? So we were able to talk to Brittany Blake, Jersey's own. And this is our Collar and Elbow interview of the week. Collar and Elbow is an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion. From cool-looking flex-fit caps to great-looking men's and women's shirts, check out the entire winter fashion line, including brand-new long-sleeve shirts and hoodies. You got to go to collarxelbow.com. Save 10% on your entire online purchase just by entering promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST, all in caps. Here is our interview with Brittany Blake, talking about her matchup with Tennille Dashwood for Standalone Wrestling. All right, we're here at Standalone Wrestling, the High Spot Podcast, with Brittany Blake. Brittany, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, actually. That's actually nice. Someone's asking me how I'm doing. Big match for you here tonight.
Huge match.
Tennille Dashwood.
Yes.
We all know her as Emma in the WWE. How big of an opportunity is this for you to kind of get your name out there even more and make this a huge night for Brittany Blake?
You know, it's a big opportunity, obviously, but I feel like it's not even so much about, you know, putting my name out there, but it's about proving what I can do in that ring and proving that I can be as good as the top names. And the Women's Revolution is, you know, it's nonstop right now, so it's a really big deal for me.
What got you into this? What made you get the itch that I wanted to try professional wrestling? We know that, like you said, Women's Revolution is definitely, you know, just taken off this past year. So what made you want to get into it?
So I got into it when I was a kid. I watched it. Me, my brother, and my dad would all watch wrestling. And I grew up on Lita and Trish and the Hardys and Edge and Christian and Eddie Guerrero. And I loved it when I was a kid. And I went to my first indie show when I was 21. I lived under a rock. I didn't know indie wrestling existed, which is, sounds terrible. But when I found out that there were local schools, I looked into them. I signed right up, and I started training.
All right, so you trained CZW Dojo. How do you think training there has prepared you for... Let's just say this is probably one of the biggest match so far in your, you know, early career. How do you think that's prepared you?
CZW trains you for everything. There are numerous trainers at all times. There's like so many different talents, so many different experience levels, and just everything all over the country, all over the world. They come in and they teach you all these different things that you wouldn't learn at another school. And you also get in there with guys. So training with girls and guys is, you know, it's really beneficial.
So talk about also wrestling, Standalone Wrestling's first event. Obviously, when you guys see it tonight, you will see that it is top-notch, first class.
Absolutely.
Just your thoughts when you walked into the building and saw the prep and you saw the ring and you saw everything that goes with it. They're very detailed, right?
Absolutely. You wouldn't know walking in here that this is their first show. I feel like I've been to first shows where there's not really lighting or there's not really signs. Like you walk in, it looks like a very generic show, but this does not look generic. It looks so professional. I'm so happy to be working here. I hope to come back in the future.
All right, so you mentioned before that you were into the lead of the Hardys, and you know, you kind of mentioned your dad. I think this is the first time he's going to see you wrestle in person. I don't want to really get too in depth, whatever like that, but this is the first time he's going to see it. How exciting is that for you? Is it any more added pressure?
It's so exciting. I mean, it's a little added pressure. I mean, obviously, I hope I don't get hurt, especially with him here. But oh my god, that would be horrible. But I'm just really excited that he's going to be here. He's going to be here. My brother's going to be here. Some of my cousins. This is actually very local to where I grew up. So a lot of my family, just by circumstance, they showed up. Whether or not I was going to be wrestling to Neil or not, they would have come. But it's just an awesome show that they could have came to.
And so, do a little scouting report on Tennille. Obviously, she's. We saw her make her debut for Ring of Honor, Woman of Honor. She's actually one of the most underrated wrestlers in WWE, and it's kind of shocking when the news came down that she was released. Mm-hmm. Just give us a quick scouting report on Emma Tennille Dashwood right now.
Yeah, I definitely don't take her lightly at all. I've been, since the second I found out that this match was happening, I did my research. I went back to her pre-NXT WWE shows. I went to... And her, you know, everything I saw in NXT WWE, but also all the matches she's had since, you know, back on the indies. I've been scouting everything. I know she's vicious. I know she's no joke. So I feel I am so prepared. I hope she came prepared, too. I hope she's not going to take me lightly because I come from CZW, so I'm no joke, too.
So for someone like Tennille, you can honestly say, guys, that Tennille kind of started this women's evolution with the match she had with Paige. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, you know, talk about that match, and a lot of people kind of credit her. She obviously takes credit too as well. It's all about her.
Well, I know.
Just your thoughts on women's wrestling now. 2017 was a great year. 2018 seems to be, it just keeps getting better and better. Your thoughts on women's wrestling right now in 2018?
I think it couldn't be any better. I'm so happy to see where it's gone. I can't wait to see where it's going to go this year, 2019, in the future. I can't wait to see, I mean, all the women, not just on TV, but on the indies, they're so hungry and they're so determined to prove why women are just as good as the men, if not better. They're, you know, main eventing, headlining. They're no joke.
And, of course, social media is huge now. Mm-hmm. It's probably, wrestling is at an amazing boom. You talk about, for example, independent scene right now. Everyone used to be like, oh, WWE, you're bust, or if I can't make it there. Mm-hmm. But right now, you talk about the scene here, like standalone wrestling here, CZW. Talk about the opportunities now for independent wrestlers that maybe they weren't there before, maybe like 5-6 years ago, and talk about the boom in wrestling now.
Yeah, I mean, I've been fortunate enough to be all over the country. I've wrestled girls and guys on both the East, West Coast, South, North. I've gone to Canada. You know, everyone is just so hungry. Everyone sees the opportunities that are out there, not just on TV, but on the indies. So I feel like there's so many new promotions coming out and so many more opportunities for people on the indies. So it's really great.
And lastly, what is on the horizon for Brittany Blake in 2018? What's her goals? What's her plans? Something you can delve into right now. Obviously, you know, years full of surprises. But what exactly do you have in store for 2018?
As I mentioned earlier, you know, it's not even so much about, you know, making a name for myself, just proving to everyone why I deserve to be here and why I deserve to be in better places and higher places and traveling more. It's just more about getting to go to different places and showing everyone in every state and every country why I deserve to be here.
So one thing we enjoy about Brittany Blake, she's Jersey, yes. 100%.
Absolutely.
And we are the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we represent the High Spot Podcast. We want to wish you well.
Thank you.
Best of luck against Tennille Dashwood today. It's going to be amazing. That's why we're here, to see this matchup.
Oh, my God, really?
So awesome, guy. You know, awesome. I hope your dad, you know, you're going to make your dad proud.
I hope my dad's proud.
So we congratulate you on that. And plenty more to come for Brittany Blake in 2018. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right, Trendsetter, that was Brittany Blake. Great getting to know her. The first time her dad was going to be in the audience to see her wrestle. And, of course, representing New Jersey, a lifelong wrestling fan. Great to see her perform. And just a great night for Chad Minnis and company for standalone wrestling.
It was. It was exciting because it was the culmination of a lot of hard work when we spoke to Chad about, you know, what his vision was, what he wanted standalone wrestling to separate itself from any other promotion. Because that's the thing. It's hard to find variety nowadays. Yeah, exactly. The perfect name, right? Standing Alone. Basically on the premise of wrestling. That's what we saw that night. And the crowd was really into it. It was exciting. You know, and you know, you couldn't have asked for better competitors. Especially watching Tennille and Brittany Blake do their thing as well. So, yeah, I was excited for them. And I just can't wait to see what the future holds. Because it's one thing building up. And we saw the work that Chad did in terms of promotion and advertising. Not only coming in our show, but basically doing like a radio row to get this thing off its feet. And you saw it in the crowd.
That's how you do it, though. That's how you do it. It's inspiring.
So now one's in the book. But now, you know, we have other ones to look forward to, anticipation. So to me, it's just a, not to minimize at all, but just a small little baby step into the direction where the vision where standalone wrestling can go. And I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see where this vision takes it in the near future.
And their next event will be Boardwalk Beatdown. Go to standalonewrestling.com for more information. But already announced, Goldberg and Sting will be there for meet and greet. So you really want to make a weekend out of this because it's a weekend event too. So go to standalonewrestling.com right now for more information. Also, breaking news is that Abyss is going to be there. Crazy Steve and Rosemary. And that's going to be interesting to do meet and greets with them. As well as Danny Davis. Dangerous Danny Davis. Back in the day, former WWE referee and competitor will be there as well. So definitely, it's going to be a weekend, August 24th and 25th. Go to standalonewrestling.com for more details. The next time you will see the Jujutsu Wrecking Crew will be this Saturday. We will be at Battle Club Pro. Welcome to War in Ridgefield Park. Guys, you got to go to this event. It's going to be great. This is the first time Joaquin Morales will take a dab at doing the card for this, and it's headlined by Sue Young against Jessica Havoc. It is going to be great. And, of course, a seminar will be held by former Mae Young Classic competitor Mia Yim. So be there. A select people will be chosen to perform for an upcoming Battle Club Pro event. So definitely want to head there and get great advice from Mia Yim as she does her seminar. We will be talking to her too that day. So definitely watch out for that on YouTube or on blogtalkradio.com/highspotpodcast. So it is going to be amazing. We will have interviews from there. And it is just amazing being on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. It is Brian Fritz and Michael Wiseman's baby. And they are the flagship show on that network, Between the Ropes, every Wednesday. You can also catch the Cosmic Geppetto. Brad and Kyle talk about professional wrestling and, of course, all forms of entertainment and movies. Sports Guys talking wrestling. Stu Myers and Justin Simmons also are two guys from Austin, Texas, talking about the world of professional wrestling. Stick to the Gimmick with Spencer Davies and Martin Harp as they talk NXT and they lead you towards the road to WrestleMania. And, of course, the Shining Wizards and B-Plus Radio Networks catch shows like Destruction 101, A Drink with Gino, A Genuine Taste of Wrestling, and Outsiders podcast with Mark Adam Haggerty, the founder of B+. Great, great time to be a wrestling fan and great chance to catch the High Spot podcast on all these networks. Trendsetter, any final words for the crew?
Any final words is, guys, we thank you so much for being part of the crew. We thank you so much for enjoying the content that only Jeff and I do for what I've done for Adventures with the Trendsetter, which seems to be picking up a lot of steam. Thank you, Jeff.
Get the franchise on our goddamn YouTube channel,
man. Thank you for giving me props on the notoriety. Again, me being as humble as I am.
He's going to be a star, folks.
It's exciting.
A star is born.
But not just that. The momentum we have, like you just talked about, Battle Club Pro, Ring of Honor, all the stuff we're looking forward to. I mean, our calendar on the weekends for in terms of wrestling for March is kind of packed right now. And before you know it, we're going to be in New Orleans.
Listen,
so it's exciting, man.
Dude,
it's exciting.
This weekend is so packed. Not only am I covering Battle Club Pro, and I'll be doing some interviews too. You're going to be at Ring of Honor. We're also going to be at a powerhouse gym in Mahwah, New Jersey, talking to the founder, Eric Santiago, about that gym. And, you know, he's also used to work for WWE as a security guy. So, obviously, it's going to be talk to him. We've got that going on. We're spreading ourselves thin, man, that we've had to go and recruit a member of the Jersey Wrecking Crew family to help us out on that day. So, it's going to be awesome, too. But, again, it just shows you the success of the High Spot podcast. And we're on to bigger and better things, man. That's all I got to say.
Yeah,
on
to bigger and better things, and we do it for one reason and one reason only, guys. We thank you so much for listening to the High Spot Podcast. For Jeff Marr and I'm the trendsetter, Brian Breger, reminding all of you that we do this for you, the crew.